I lost my job. I got no money. They told me to clean out my desk. I got nothing. I got no money. I just moved here 6 months ago.
Welcome to the Happy Engineer Podcast, the place where we help engineers to build your career, balance your life, and be happy. My name is Zach White, a former engineer now turned CEO, lifestyle engineering coach, and your host. I believe that success without fulfillment is failure. Join me each week as we bring you an inspiring leader or message to help you enjoy both. Thanks for investing time with me today. Now let's do this. Have you ever heard of a magic harmonica? Before this episode, I hadn't either. But hang with me a second. Just imagine if you were on a stage doing live improvisational comedy, an improv skit, and another comedian handed you a magic harmonica. What would you do with it? Hey, hold that thought for a moment. And now let me ask you this. How often do you celebrate in your career and life? Would you say that you celebrate something at least once a month? Weekly? Daily? What about hourly? Get ready to enjoy an incredibly fun and mindset-shifting conversation with workplace expert, speaker, author, and humorist Joel Zeff. For nearly 25 years, Joel has entertained and helped transform countless leaders at over 2,500 events through his unique blend of hilarious improvisational comedy and essential ideas on work and life. In 1991, Joel made the news with his magic harmonica. I know you're going to love his story, and yes, the harmonica makes an appearance on the show today. Known as the Tao of Ta-da, Joel is here to celebrate with you. More importantly, he's going to teach you how and why you need to celebrate the ta-da moments of your life every day. Joel understands that change is not optional, and learning how to thrive under the immense pressure of sudden disruption will accelerate your career. Oh, and it will lower your stress levels too. I think it's a safe bet that your biggest ta-da of the day is right now. And just in case you missed our last episode, I announced our new Happy Engineer community online. You can find the link in the show notes. So jump out there and share your next action step or anything you learned from this conversation in our free group. I'll be in there cheering you on and sharing bonus content from the show. Are you an engineer who is listening because you want to reach the next level, but don't know how to get there? I know exactly how you feel and would love to chat about how to get results. A lot of engineers want help. They want to accelerate their career, but what holds them back is that most of the career coaching services out there are generic and they just want you on the phone to get a commitment and a credit card. That's why on our career clarity calls, we do it a bit differently. We are there to help you gain a deeper sense of clarity on the barriers you're facing so you can choose the right next step for you. It's totally free. There is no commitment, and that call is meant to serve you. And if we're a good fit, we've carved out a limited number of $500 coaching sessions also for free, which we want to give our podcast listeners first. Setting up a career clarity call is easy. Go to careerclaritycall.com. You can grab that link in the show notes or just memorize it. careerclaritycall.com. All you're going to do is click the big orange button, select a time on our calendar that works for you, and my team will begin pouring into your career so you can get to that next level. Chat soon. Joel, welcome to the Happy Engineer Podcast. I can't thank you enough for making time to be with us. Awesome to have you on the show, man.
It's my pleasure. I'm ready. Let's talk happiness and engineers.
Yes, happiness and engineers. Joel, I want to start in a place that is near and dear to your heart and your message, which is celebration. And I'd love to know, man, what are you celebrating today?
I think when I talk in my keynotes, I talk about the ta-da, the energy of ta-da, and that came from watching my kids. And even before that, when you're 3 and 4, everything in your life is a ta-da. You celebrate everything. You eat a cheese sandwich, you know, and the kids, ta-da, you know, they do a little drawing. I mean, any drawing, right? Just like two marks, two blue marks, ta-da, you know, my kid's an artist. We need to get her lessons. We need to get her in training. They throw one ball. The kid throws one ball and you're like, oh, he's a genius. He's a champion. He's an Olympian. Everything's a celebration. And as we get older, we lose a lot of that, and especially in our work lives. We lose that energy of ta-da. We're not celebrating. Maybe most companies have an event once a year. They give out a few awards. But I believe that we have to celebrate every day. We have to have those ta-da moments every single day because that's our fuel. And our fuel for our passion, our fuel for innovation, yeah. Our fuel for productivity, for leadership. Everything's about that. So many people are just, they're drained. They don't have any fuel. And part of that is that lack of celebration, that lack of having those ta-da moments and realizing they have those ta-da moments every single day.
Being on this call with you is a ta-da moment, Joel, no question. But I'm curious, and as you practice this in your own life, like, what are the things you've celebrated already even before we got together today?
I celebrated calling the plumber because my toilet was running. I got a big ta-da for my wife. She's like, we got to take care of these things. This is a priority this summer. So that's a big ta-da. So I just checked that off the list today. So that was my big ta-da today. But everything, you know, just that energy and that celebration that you are moving forward, you are succeeding. And that fuels us. That's an energy. I have a job where I get a round of applause. Most people don't have a job where they get a round of applause. I'm sure your listeners, no one comes into their office and just, wow, you engineered the crap out of that.
So true.
But nobody does that, right? But they deserve it, right?
Yeah.
I'm lucky I have a job where I get a round of applause. And what does that do? That fuels me to want to produce, to want to be a better leader, a better communicator, a better speaker. In my keynotes, I use improvisation and I bring people up on stage and they've never done an improvisation game. What happens is whatever they do, the audience reacts. They celebrate, they applaud, they laugh. And you could see what happens. They do more. They produce more. The more laughter and applause they get, they produce
the more.
And it's the same, I'm sure, with every engineer, your listeners, they want that positive support that's going to fuel them.
Joel, you made a great point that when we're kids, this comes naturally. And then at some point, we ended up being taught, trained, conditioned by culture and society and people around us, maybe our parents who intended well to become good citizens or to be what they think is successful. We lose our connection to this ta-da celebration spirit that you're talking about. So can you tell me, as you've been doing this work and you've been helping people reconnect to it, where do you think we go off course? Like, what actually pulls us away from the spirit of celebration and ta-da as kids?
I think some of it is certainly, you mentioned several things, just the social aspect. We don't celebrate, you know, when you're a little kid, you celebrate everything. And then as we get older, they just kind of start slowly going away. When my kids were young and they went to the bathroom by themselves for the first time, huge ta-da. When's the last time you went to the bathroom, Zach, by yourself, walked out and went, ta-da? Yeah, I washed all by myself. And people, your mom was right there going, Zach, way to go. So you lose some of that because it's expectation. We're expecting you to go to the bathroom by yourself. You don't need that celebration every time now. But when we lose some of that, we lose all of it. And then at work, you know, we're doing great things each and every day. And we're not taking the time to celebrate, to give that appreciation. And one of the things that I talk about, one of the challenges that I talk about is every day when you go home from work, think about all the people that you had contact with. People on your team, partners, vendors, support, leadership, whoever you dealt with. Did you give the people that deserve it that positive support? Did you give that appreciation? So we're thinking about it on the way home. Probably you forgot, which is totally cool, totally understandable. A lot of things going on. So that's why we're thinking about it on the way home. So tomorrow, let's give that positive support. Let's give that appreciation. And I don't care how you do it. You can call them up, you can text them, you can email them, you can, you know, mail a letter and wait 7 days. It doesn't matter. They want to hear it. There's no expiration date on that thank you. We want to hear it. And when you send it out, it's going to come back. Yes. And you start creating that energy and that culture of appreciation and positive support. And it's going to affect how you work, how you produce, how you view your day to day. And it's, I think, going to be very positive in how that fuels you and how that increases your passion and reduces your stress.
No question. I'll testify, you know, with our clients and in my own experience that what you're saying is 100% true. And Joel, I've never connected the dots this way, but you said something really interesting, and I'd be curious for your perspective on it, that we come to simply expect that this is what's required or this is how I'm supposed to behave. You know, well, Zach, right. Of course, you can use the restroom on your own, wash your own hands. Like, duh. Instead of ta-da, it becomes duh. Like, that's obvious. Yeah. That's expected. Right. And I think engineering leaders feel this way a lot. Like, hey, what I do from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. for some of the people out there, they're not, forget the 9 to 5, it's the 7 to 7 or the 8 to 8, right?
Right.
But all of that is, that's my job. That's what's mm-hmm. expected of me. It's not worthy of celebration until we cross some big finish line or actually get over the hump. And all these things happening all day, every day, it's like, well, why would I celebrate that? That's expected of me. How do you help somebody decondition this idea that just because it is expected doesn't mean it's not worthy of celebration?
I think it starts, you don't have to do everything today, just little things, just like what I mentioned, just that little thank you every day, sending that appreciation out, figuring out what opportunity you need that's going to reward and fulfill you, you know? And I think you're going to be surprised if you really ask yourself, what do I need to be fulfilled? What is that opportunity? Is it the opportunity a different role? Is it a different responsibility? Do you want to be give ideas? Do you want to have more training? Do you want to have the opportunity to go to a conference? There's a lot of different opportunities. What's going to reward and fulfill you? And if you answer that question, you're going to be surprised, I think, twice. Once by the answer. It's not more money. We all want more money. That's a given. But what is that opportunity that's going to fulfill and reward us? And then the second opportunity or the second surprise is when you tell the person you report to, hey, this is what I need here to be happy and fulfilled. And you are going to be surprised how easy it is for them to give you that opportunity. What do they get back in return? A passionate, energized team member. And if they don't give you that opportunity, that's a big clue that you might be in the wrong place. But I guarantee you, someone else is going to want a passionate, energized engineer like yourself. Yes. That's going to help them reach their goals. And another thing you mentioned, you think, well, this is my job. This is what I'm expected to do. You forget how incredible it is what you do every day as an engineer. I don't have the mind to be an engineer. I barely can balance my checkbook. Numbers are foreign to me. And so it's incredible every single day. You know, you think about, you drive by and you see bridges. How did they engineer that? How did they figure that out? Buildings. How did an architect engineer that to figure out to make that work? Anything, the technology. You know, it's incredible what yes. engineers do every single day. Really incredible. That gives us so much in our lives, and they should be celebrated. And every person who's listening to this should be realize it's not an everyday occurrence. It is yeah. an everyday occurrence for you because you're yeah. skilled in what you do, but you should celebrate that. And the people around you should celebrate that. And if you're not getting that appreciation, if you're not getting that feeling of worth, then you're in the wrong place. And believe me, everybody's hiring right now. There's plenty of opportunity for great people. And you should not have to feel like you're unwanted or not appreciated or not thanked. That's yeah. not going to fuel you and make you happy and create great work.
Really powerful. So, Joel, you may not have the numbers mind, but you've made magic happen with engineering audiences in the work that you do. The improvisation as a tool, as a vehicle to get people into this spirit of the energy and the celebration and the, I use the phrase, get out of their comfort zone. And yeah. what I'd love to kind of understand from you is, I think about myself, like I agree with what you're saying, but I remember the days as an engineering leader in my career before I was a coach, where The idea of going first, especially in that corporate environment where nobody else is acting this way, is pretty scary. It's pretty uncomfortable. Like, everybody's in that status quo, low energy, no celebration. That's not a part of the culture here. So talk to us about what has to shift inside a person to be willing to step out of their comfort zone. And maybe you can relate to us on stage. Getting an engineer out of the audience to come do improv right on stage is a big leap for a lot of people. How do you do that?
It's a lot of industries, not just engineering. Last week I was with a pharmaceutical firm and they were all scientists. These are people that problem solve, creating drugs that are going to solve problems and are going to work. They're engineering a problem as well from a scientific medical world. And I say it right up front. I know this is out of your comfort zone. I'm asking people to do improvisation games, to interact way out of their comfort zone. But that's where we learn, right? That's where we grow. That's where we learn. It's a really special place. You try to create an environment that's positive and supportive. We talk about the applause. We talk about that energy. That's a huge part of being successful out of your comfort zone. And then it's also about realizing we're all in it together. I do this little quick little exercise where I have the whole audience put their hands up like this and say, bunny, bunny, bunny. Now, any group of engineers, if I asked you individually to say, put your hands up like this, go bunny, bunny, bunny.
Those who are only getting audio, Joel's got his thumbs on his temples, basically hands in like the bullwinkle position. He does look, if you're watching this on YouTube, you're seeing it, but like we look pretty stupid right now. So got it. Yeah, there it is.
That was the most descriptive bunny, bunny that I've ever, that was very descriptive, Zach. But you know, if I asked you to say, look, put your hands up like this. And then I would ask you, just go to your next meeting, we're in the conference room. Everybody, we're trying to figure out second quarter and just look at everybody and just go bunny, bunny, bunny. People would look at you like you're nuts. Nobody would do that. But when I do that as a group and ask them to do it together, everybody immediately puts their hands up like this. Somebody always does this. And I go, you're not being arrested, sir. You just put your hands like this. Inevitably, someone always does this. I don't understand where to put my thumbs. Where do they go? And so everybody does it. When I was last week, just because it's the most recent with the pharmaceutical, you know, they did it totally out of their comfort zone. But because we did it together, we didn't judge, we supported each other, it was easier to take that risk, easier to get out of our comfort zone. And with everything, it is hard, especially like you said, that first step, it is hard, but it's also rewarding to get out of our comfort zone, to learn and grow. And when we say get out of our comfort zone, that means we're dealing with change. And I'm sure you've had many episodes talking about change, and there's been some very minor, very small changes in the last 2 years to all of our lives. Very, very, almost not even worth mentioning.
And so, it'd be easy to overlook. It is so easy to overlook.
And, you know, literally we changed the last 2 years. You changed everything, how we work, how we communicate, how we shop, how we entertain ourselves, how we eat, how we order food. I mean, I can go on and on. Everything has changed, and change is hard and it's difficult. And that's why there's so much pushback. It's too much for many people. Change is very difficult. Improvisation is all about change and disruption and finding that success through that change and disruption. And it's about certain things, making choices to deal with that change. The first choice that you make that improv teaches you is to be prepared for change. Change is going to happen whether you like it or not. And most change is completely out of your control. And every person, and I know lots of different, all the listeners, lots of different companies. And I know at every single one of those companies, your engineering audience is dealing with tremendous change.
Absolutely.
And disruption. And you're going to deal with change next week and next month. There's never going to be a day where we get together and go, we're done. We took care of everything on Friday. We are good to go. It's got to be constant.
Yes.
And it's how we deal with that change that determines our success, that determines our passion, how we reduce our stress, our leadership. And so improv teaches us to be prepared for change, to be open and flexible to change. And more importantly, to be present and in the moment during change. And these choices help us react to change, because that's the true power. Change out of our control. How we react to change, that's our power. And I'm going to react and be passionate and be positive and be supportive and be patient and be understanding. And it's going to change our whole energy, change our whole tone.
Joel, if someone is hearing this and saying, I'd like to start developing that skill, but maybe they don't have the bandwidth or the opportunity to do improv once a week, you know, yet. Maybe they'll choose to after hearing this. Is there an exercise or a place that you would encourage someone to begin that introduces them to the mindset and the heart behind improvisation and the relationship to change that you just talked about?
Are you trying to set up my book? Is that what you're trying to do, Zach? Are you trying to set that? Because that was really good.
Joel, I wouldn't say that it's my intention to perfectly lob up the book, but no, yeah, it was a genuine question.
Next level.
Come on, man. Yeah, we'll bring it.
Next level. I do have a book. We'll bring it closer to the camera. Make the Right Choice, Creating a Positive, Innovative, and Productive Work Life. And so it's just my thoughts on improv and going through my filter of working with so many different companies and industries and my business experience, and then taking it back to thoughts on how we can move forward and how we can use some of these improv skills in our work lives. And I tell everybody, just start small. You don't have to do everything today. Start with throwing out a little positive support and appreciation. Start with thinking about what opportunity is going to fulfill and reward you. Start with maybe just thinking about how you react to change and how can you be more prepared for change, or how can you be more open and flexible change. Another improv tenet that I like to use, which is very simple, is asking the question, how do I help the people around me be successful? When people see an improv show, they, how does that happen? There's no script, there's no rehearsal, there's no plan. How do I, as a speaker, bring three engineers from the audience on stage? They play an improv game and they're creative, they're hilarious, they make a great team. They take responsibility, they're accountable, they take ownership. How does that happen? Improv is an art form and it forces you to make really great decisions. And one of the decisions it forces you to make is that you want to help the people on your team. And so if we extract that and take that to the work lives of your listeners, ask that question. How do I help the people around me be successful? That's an easy question. Easy to answer. Your listeners are very smart. They understand what people around them need to be successful. The hard part is to act on it. And when you send it out there, it's going to come back tenfold, a hundredfold. How do I help the people around me be successful? I could talk all day about teamwork and leadership, but it's really, to me, just it's drilled down to that one sentence. You know, take it simple. What works for you? Is it asking that question, answering and acting on it just a little bit each day? Is it giving that positive appreciation each day? Is it thinking about what opportunity they want to fulfill them and go out there and ask and demand that opportunity? Little things start adding up. It's finding what works for you and what's going to help you be passionate and energized, because that to me is the most important thing. There's no reason to go to work every day and not be passionate and energized. And I even mentioned the book. One of my first jobs, I worked at a movie theater. Have you ever worked in a movie theater, Zach?
I haven't worked in one. I did consider it. It sounded like one of those jobs that would be so easy and fun, but I also thought I'd get bored. I don't know.
It's a lot of cleaning up trash, Zach. It's a lot of cleaning up other people's trash. It's also, you smell like popcorn 24/7. And so popcorn and hot dogs. 24/7.
I would gain a lot of weight. I like popcorn. That's not good.
But, you know, I was making minimum wage. I'm cleaning up other people's trash. Popcorn machines are greasy and nasty.
Yeah.
But I always was passionate about what I was doing. Being a teenager. But I saw I could either be frustrated and cranky picking up people's trash, or I can try to incorporate fun and passion. And I knew from an early age, if you incorporate that fun, incorporate that passion, it's a lot more enjoyable. And your energy and your passion and what your outcome is much better. And I've just built on that my whole career, whether I was a newspaper reporter and worked in advertising PR, or when I started my own agency, or as a keynote speaker and MC. It's about just creating that energy. And I still have stressful situations. I still come upon people that are hard to work with.
Yes.
Like you, Zach. You're very, very difficult.
Most people say so. Yeah, true.
Yeah. And so, but it's still, you know, realizing you have to be open and flexible, that you have to be present in the moment, and you try to create an environment that we can be successful and passionate and energized.
I love this. So Joel, you know, people like me, engineers, we're skeptical. And one of the things, one of the things I have encountered skepticism around as I've coached engineers and done the work that we do at Awaco is this idea that passion, energy, enthusiasm, zeal, all of what you're describing translates to real results in the business. There's a skepticism about that. It sounds nice, but a lot of times an engineering leader will say, that's just not me. I'm an introvert. I'm a low-key person. I'd rather just stay in my desk, do my work, build my intelligence, use my brain to get the job done. And I'm really not for this high energy, high vibe thing that Joel's talking about, because that's for other people and it doesn't really matter. I've had a lot of interesting dialogue with people to say, you know, hey, but what if, you know, what if those labels you've adopted aren't the case? Or what if you could go drive a differentiated level of results and impact through the technology that you love if you showed up that way? So could you just talk about your experience, you know, with people who come from that analytical, logical, maybe introversion bias? What would you say to them? What evidence is there that this isn't just for the extroverts or the crazies? It's really about results and everybody can benefit by showing up this way.
You have to understand happiness and fun mean something different to everybody. I don't want everybody to walk through the door and ta-da, and like, woo! You know, we're gonna engineer today. Are you ready to engineer?
But it would be kind of fun if everyone did, Joel. I'm just gonna say that. But no, I hear you. Yeah. No, perfect. But keep going.
Some people, you know, happiness and fun is different for lots of people. And so what is your happiness? Yeah. What is your fulfillment? Let's work toward that. I want you to be passionate and energized. I don't need you to jump off your desk and yell ta-da and throw confetti. But what's the happiness look like for you? You know, let's go back. Think about, you know, I always take an example of math. Let's think about math class. You know, the person in math class, they solve that problem. That's amazing, right? They solve that calculus problem and they feel like they just conquered the world. That's just an amazing feeling. My daughter has that. She's great at math. And that to me is like, you're torturing me. You might as well just take my fingernails with pliers. It's like you're in a Liam Neeson movie, right? You're out for revenge.
Yikes.
You're out for revenge. That's not my fun, but it's fun for somebody else. It's happiness for somebody else. So let's figure out what is that happiness for you. You're introverted, you're analytical, you don't want to be bothered. I get it. But what is that happiness fulfillment for you? And let's work toward that. What opportunity do you need that's going to fulfill you? What's going to help you be happy? Do I need to bring donuts? Do you need better lighting? Do you need a better chair? Those are all opportunities as well. To have that happiness and fulfillment is a wide spectrum. And what I believe in is that when you are happy and fulfilled at work, you're energized. You're going to produce more. You're going to be more innovative. You're going to be a better leader, a better teammate, a better communicator, and the product is going to be better. And that's what should be everyone's goal, whether you're an engineer or any type of industry. And as leaders, what does your team need? And what do they need as individuals that's going to create that energy and passion? And it's going to be different for everybody. But I'm about that spirit and that ta-da and that celebration, but celebration might be a little different for other people, but it's still a celebration.
I really appreciate this. And I agree. You know, what I tell all of my clients is the quality of your life depends on the quality of your work life. And to think that you can be low energy and depressed or frustrated or angry at work all the time and then love your life is a completely false notion, that they really are integrated. And so maybe someone listening to you, you are a high energy guy and it comes through in your voice and in your body language and you're just so much fun to be around. But Joel, I'd love to know what happens when you find yourself disconnected from the ta-da. It's a rough day or something external happens that really derails, you know, your life, or someone that you love is in a tough situation or you are. What is that side of the coin? How do you, you know, balance the spirit of celebration and high energy and enthusiasm and passion with some of the realities of life that can just be hard or feel negative? What do you do when you're in that place?
I try to search out what is going to make me happy. And maybe it's as simple as reading an email, or I try to put a file together of client positive thoughts or positive notes that they've sent me. And I really needed that the last 2 years when everything was virtual and we weren't live. Sometimes you feel like, well, am I forgotten? Does anybody need me anymore? And you have maybe these slow times where you're not out there speaking. You're saying, well, maybe I've lost it. And then you go back and you read comments from attendees. For me, you read those notes. You know, that to me is my fuel to realize, okay, I'm on the right path. I gotta, you know, gotta keep moving forward.
Yeah.
What is it for each individual? That positive support, that mechanism that helps you refuel. Maybe mm-hmm. it's as simple as taking a moment just to take a walk outside, you know. And I always say, you know, when you have those moments where that negativity or you're trying to figure out a problem, an issue, try to take that walk and sit there or walk, no technology, no phone, no music, and think. Your mind knows what it needs and it's going to send you those ideas. That's why so many times you have great ideas right before you go to sleep or in the shower, is because it's quiet. You don't have that technology. There's nothing trying to compete, and your mind is really focused. And when you do that every single time, you're going to come up with an idea, and that idea is going to fuel you, and that fuel is going to be positive, supportive, and it's going to overcome that negativity. Find what little things can you do to kind of overcome that negativity. Is it asking a coworker to go to lunch or have a coffee break, going to get an ice cream, creating a file of positive thoughts, you know, for my clients. You know, I have a whole folder. I have them everywhere, email folder. You know, what are those little things that are going to help refresh you overcome that negative challenge that causes stress?
I love that. So be intentional to create access, easy access to a mechanism that allows you to reconnect to your fuel. I love that.
And can I give you another example?
Yeah, please.
Okay. So I have, by my desk, I have a magic harmonica. Do you have a magic harmonica?
I don't even have a regular harmonica.
You got to get a magic one. So anytime that I'm having an issue, or there's something going on, I just pick up my magic harmonica. Not one lesson, Zach. Not one. And I have no musical ability whatsoever. But how can you not smile when you get a little of that? And this, can I tell you a quick story about the magic harmonica?
Please, yeah. When did you get this magic harmonica?
My senior year in college, which was 1990. A long time ago, Zach, in a galaxy far, far away. And here's the deal. I don't necessarily remember. I went to a speaker. I'm guessing it was a harmonica player, and I bought this harmonica. I don't remember anything about the situation other than I bought this harmonica. So I would always have it with me. And I guess I felt really good about buying a harmonica. And so in 1991, I was in Dallas working as a newspaper reporter for a newspaper called the Dallas Times Herald. Excuse me. And so they call me on a Sunday, and we're coming up on the 31st anniversary. Last year was the 30th anniversary. And they said, the paper's closing. You need to come clean out your desk. You don't have a job. So when we talk about negativity, like you just mentioned, right? Mm-hmm. We talk about this wave of emotions of negativity, failure, challenge, obstacles, everything. And I had just started this job 6 months ago. So, okay, everybody's been in a situation where they've lost their job. This is how I reacted to losing my job. They called me up. They said, I need you to come clean out your desk. Tomorrow's the last paper. You've lost your job. Remember, I'm living in a one bedroom apartment with literally no furniture. I just moved to Dallas 6 months ago. So I walk out the door. I grab this magic harmonica. I don't know why. I didn't have a preconceived notion of what I was going to do with this harmonica. So I get down to the newspaper, clean out my desk, kind of survey the situation. A host of emotions. Mm-hmm. You know, people are sad, people are angry, people are confused, depressed, anxious, scared, everybody has a range of emotions. I'm a young, I think I'm 22 at that time. And I find myself on the back loading dock. All the media was there, the radio, other TV stations, other newspapers. And for some reason, I picked up my magic harmonica, and this is what happened.
I lost my job. I got no money. They told me to clean out my desk. I got nothing. But this harmonica. I got no money. I just moved here 6 months ago.
That went on for a little bit. Nothing. This was not planned. And I don't have, and it's not like I do this all the time. Amazing. I don't even know. I can only play one blues note. That's it. I have no musical ability. I have no idea why I did this, Zach. There was never a preconceived thought.
Yeah, it just happened.
And it just happened. And the cameras went like this. You could actually, right? And someone actually pulled me aside by my elbow and they said, "You will never work in this town again." It was like a film noir movie. "You will never work in this town again." And I don't remember if it was a man or a woman that said that. I have no memory of that, but I just remember that being said. And so how did I react to losing my job? How did I react to that negativity? I chose my attitude. And my attitude was going to be, I'm going to be passionate. I'm going to be energized. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to be present. And I'm going to look at this as an opportunity. So I chose how I was going to deal with that chaos and disruption, that negativity. It was my choice, not somebody else's choice. Did I control that the newspaper closed or I lost my job? No, but I controlled how I reacted to that choice. I wasn't going to let them choose that you're going to choose for me to be angry or depressed or sad. I'm going to choose what my emotion is. And my emotion is going to be, I'm going to be energized. I'm going to be passionate. And so that really, I think, hit a note, because the next day, Fort Worth Star-Telegram had a huge picture of me playing the harmonica. Two broadcasts, local news, had me playing the harmonica. I had people from all across the country. Remember, this is 1991. This is before social media. All across the country were saying, "I saw you on the news playing a harmonica." Yeah. This is a big deal when a newspaper closed.
What happened?
Yeah. Yeah. What happened? So it resonated.
Yeah.
Because they saw someone make a choice in that negativity, make a choice in that moment of chaos and disruption. And that choice was different than what was expected. And so to all the engineers that are listening, it is always your choice how you react to whatever negativity, challenge, obstacle, stressful situation. It is your choice. And I think improv really taught me that in my choice, when I'm positive, when I'm passionate, when I'm energized, when I'm helpful and supportive and patient, the end result is going to be much more successful and much more energizing and make me happier. It's always your choice, no matter what the situation is. In every situation, it's your choice how you react.
That is a perfect exclamation point, period, whatever punctuation it deserves from that story. Joel, I love it. And too often, I find myself falling into the subconscious pattern of the choice being the automatic choice that I may have made once, and I've allowed myself to make it again and again and again and again. And you mentioned it earlier, in the spirit of improv, it's about being fully present and conscious to the choice in this moment and letting yourself be an agent, be at choice in that situation. And what an encouraging reminder. So for the engineering leader listening to this, just take that to heart. What choice do you need to get conscious and present to right now in your situation? Get your magic harmonica out and go make that choice. I love it. Joel, I always end in the same place. I'm super excited to see maybe where you take it after this conversation and knowing your heart around energy and passion. I believe great engineering, like great coaching, great improv, has in common this element that questions lead, answers follow. And if we want great answers in our life, we want to ask Great questions. Ask better questions. So if someone's listening to this conversation and they're saying, yeah, I want more of that happiness, that fuel, that passion in my life, what would be a question that you would lead them with today?
What is your ta-da moment today? Let's start with that. What is your ta-da moment? Everyone has done something. And actually, you started out the whole program. See, it's like full circle. It's next level.
We should do improv together, Joel. We're clearly ready.
We should. I love it.
What is your ta-da moment today?
What is your today? And you're going to realize, man, I accomplished a lot already today. It's almost noon Central Time. I've called the plumber. I've done a podcast. Let's see what I got out of bed. I cleaned up. I showered. Those are big things, man. Hey, I might go to lunch.
During COVID-19, a shower was a big ta-da for me. I'm just going to say that on the record.
Well, you know, yeah, I'm not wearing socks and shoes right now. Like, I didn't put on socks for this podcast, Zach. But what is, we're not at that level.
Of course not.
What is your ta-da moment? And I think everyone listening is going to realize, man, I have had a ta-da moment. Did you take the kids to school and tell them that you love them? That's a big ta-da moment. You know, did you accomplish something this morning with work? Did you solve a problem? Did you make somebody smile? Did you hold the elevator for somebody? Those are all ta-da moments.
Yes.
What did you do? And then let's just build on that. Let's have more ta-da moments and realize that they are ta-da moments and they're special and should be recognized.
I love that, Joel. Thank you so much. If someone wants to get more ta-da in their life, they want to connect with Joel and the work that you're doing and just discover more, come listen to you speak or wherever. Joel, where can people find you and get more information?
JoelZeff.com is my website. I'm updating it. That's a big goal this summer. That's going to be a big ta-da moment. That has links to everywhere. LinkedIn is my big social media. I'd love to connect with your listeners on LinkedIn. And that's how we connected. And that's how I discovered the podcast was via LinkedIn. It's a very powerful platform. So you can find me on LinkedIn. You can also follow me on Facebook, Joel Zeff. My book, appreciate you mentioning it, is available on Amazon, Make the Right Choice, Creating a Positive, Innovative, and Productive Work Life. And if one of your listeners, a leader out there that's interested in having me speak at their conference, please reach out. I would love to talk about what I can do and how I can bring the ta-da to their conference.
Amazing. So for you listening right now, I can't say enough about Joel's energy, his ability. From the moment we first messaged each other on LinkedIn, it's so obvious that he has not only an incredible degree of experience and professionalism, but knows how to tap into the hearts and minds of the people that he engages with. And so please reach out to him. Definitely buy a copy of his book, Make the Right Choice. We'll have all the links to his website, the Amazon page where you can buy the book in the show notes. You know where to find that. It's thehappyengineerpodcast.com. And Joel, thanks again for making time to be here today. This has been tremendous.
It's my pleasure. And this was my big ta-da moment today, just having a conversation with you, Zach. I love your podcast. I love what you're doing. And it was just an absolute pleasure talking with you this morning.
This episode has been brought to you by Massive Action and Decisive Leadership. Okay. No, those are not companies you can just buy success from. But they are qualities you must master if you want to build your career and balance your life. So to help you out, I'm offering my most popular ebook, 49 Things You Must Do to Accelerate Your Engineering Career, for free on our homepage at oasisofcourage.com. If you will take action on just one of these simple tips each week, I promise you will experience a whole new level of results in the coming year. The problem is that we make everything too complex. Success at work is not rocket science. I mean, you might actually be a rocket scientist, and yet you're not getting the success you desire. One engineering senior manager told me that taking action on tip 34 by itself helped him feel happier at work and allowed him to start spending more quality time with his kids. To get your free copy of the ebook, just visit oasisofcourage.com, scroll down to the bottom of the homepage, and click download now. Happy engineer. I hope you enjoyed that conversation with Joel Zeff. I sure did. But while it's just you and me, I want to tell you a little story about a time back in 2012. I was at Whirlpool Corporation at the time, building my engineering career. And this was before my burnout moment that many of you may have heard on previous episodes of this podcast or in interviews on other shows. So it's 2012, and I was in a Six Sigma Black Belt training program that Whirlpool calls OPEX, Operational Excellence. And a really great, I mean, world-class training program for engineering talent to develop new tools, new skill sets, new mindsets around data and design and engineering. And Whirlpool has this really gorgeous facility called Brandywine that's, you know, 30 minutes from where I lived. Got to go and stay the night for an entire week, four different times, for this really in-depth, quite intense training program called OPEX. So it's 2012, young in my career, and we're at this training. And one of the things that they asked us to do with our small groups that we were sitting with during the training and doing projects with during the training, one of the things they asked us to do was to create a skit, using all of the Six Sigma terminology and concepts that we had been learning throughout the training. Things like accuracy versus precision, or Schuhart control charts, or you name it, all these different concepts that we were learning how to use. And we were challenged to come up with a skit where we somehow integrated all of these terms into a fun, interesting skit. You got graded based on how well you integrated them without just flat out saying them. So our team put together this skit, and all I remember, I don't even remember the actual plot or content of our skit, but I remember adopting this alternate ego, this alternate persona named Franco Blanco, which for those who don't know, my name is Zach White. So we got the Blanco from my last name, but Franco just rhymed. So Franco Blanco was my OPEX skit character name. And I acted like a complete goober, just off the wall, tons of energy, played the comic relief character for our skit. And the whole thing was pretty hysterical. And most people who were part of my OPEX training class, including the instructor, Jim, who, if he hears this, will absolutely, I promise, be laughing, remembering how I acted so crazy as Franco Blanco. But everybody remembered that character. For the entire training and for years after, people who were a part of that group with me would come down the hall and refer to me as Franco Blanco. It stuck with everyone because the energy, the excitement was so unusual. And the passion and how made people feel, it was memorable. Here's the point. I made a choice to show up as a character who was funny, crazy, frivolous, passionate, loud. And in that moment, playing that skit, that character that I chose to put on, I was able to impact everyone in that room in a way that for years, they remembered that moment. You are choosing and creating the character that you play in life. You are waking up every morning and making a choice, even if it's a subconscious one, to show up as yourself, whatever that means. But you have the choice to create that character. You have the choice to show up differently. You have the choice to bring more energy, to celebrate those ta-da moments, to really become a leader at the next level, to become a passionate, high energy, high enthusiasm leader. And I love what Joel said. That doesn't have to look the same way for everyone. It doesn't mean you're the person playing the harmonica on the back dock after a tough situation. But it does mean that you don't have to simply do what you've always done because you've always done it. 95%, maybe more, depends on what study you look at, of your mind is the subconscious. You think that you're choosing every day, but the truth is that you're not. You're letting yesterday choose for today. Your thoughts, these subconscious patterns and habits that are built into your nervous system, are making the same choices day in and day out that you made yesterday, and the day before that, and the day before that. For example, how do you respond when your name is called in a meeting? How do you respond when you're given an opportunity to present to a bigger group? How do you respond when you receive an email that calls you out for something that you didn't do? How do you respond when there's a conflict with someone else at work? How do you respond when you don't know the answer to a really difficult problem on your project? How do you respond when you're not going to meet the deadline that your boss has given you? How do you respond? Well, you might think that you're choosing those responses, but I'm telling you, 95% of your thinking and therefore your habitual behaviors and actions are automatic because it's wired into your subconscious and you are allowing yesterday to choose for today. And then we wonder why our lives don't change and grow towards our dreams. Think about your goals and dreams. Think about the progress that you are or are not making towards those. You have a choice in what character you play in your own life. That doesn't make it easy to make the change. I just want to be honest. Like, this is a true statement. It's a reality, but it doesn't make it easy. We talked a little bit with Joel in this conversation about, you know, how do you break out of your comfort zone here? How do you become the kind of person who's able to drive that change and create something, you know, more passionate and more powerful in your career? And this is why top performers in every domain of life have coaches. Because you can't see what you can't see. And if nothing changes, then nothing changes. I'll say that again because it's so simple, but it's so important. You can't see what you can't see. That's why they're called blind spots. These patterns of your subconscious mind that are holding you back every single day, they are living in the area of Jahari's window that is your blind spot, okay? You're not aware of them. You think you are, but you're not. I'm telling you. I know it's true because it's true for me too. This is why I have a coach. And my coach helps me to see my blind spots. And if nothing changes, then nothing changes. If we don't intentionally interrupt those cycles, those habits, those things that are programmed into the 95% of your mind, your subconscious, if you're not actively, intentionally interrupting that cycle, then you're going to stay stuck. If nothing changes, then nothing changes. You may or may not have an interest in signing up for improv classes, but I want you to know that you have the ability to make a new choice, to show up in a different way. Choose the character that you're going to play in your life. And when you have more fun, more energy, more passion, more enthusiasm, however that looks for you, making those little changes in your environment, those little changes in the way you interact, those little changes in your voice and in your words, those little changes like celebrating every single ta-da you can think of every single day. When you make those choices, you begin to shift. And if you want to accelerate a transformation in your career and in your life in a way that yields real results in the quality of your life, but also your income and your impact and the results that you care about to leave a legacy and create a lifestyle that you love, then get a coach, get help. Whether it's with Awaco or someone else, it doesn't matter. I just want you to take action. But we would be absolutely thrilled to support you. We've helped hundreds of engineering leaders to break through in their career and in their life in ways that before working with us, they didn't even think were possible. Hey, last reminder, if anything here really triggered a question for you, shoot it over. You know, we're starting our Q&A episodes, really excited to continue that and answer the questions that you have. So shoot me a note or a voice memo. You can email it right to me. It's zach@oasisofcourage.com, zach@oasisofcourage.com. I'd love to hear from you. It's always a pleasure to connect with each and every one of you out there. Until next time, keep making those choices. Live in the spirit of improv. Get present. And as always, crush comfort, create courage, and let's do this. My friend, that's all we've got for this episode of the Happy Engineer Podcast. Thank you again for investing your time with me today. If you're like me, then maybe you'll take some notes and share this episode with your fellow engineers. Why? Because it will help you learn deeper, remember these insights, and take action. So share this episode with two or three friends just like you who are committed to building their career. Lastly, make sure to link up with us at oasisofcourage.com. Grab our free tools for career growth there in the Resource Hub, and schedule a free call with our coaching team today. Please just share this podcast with anyone who you think might enjoy it. Until next time, remember to crush comfort, create courage, and let's do this.